The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Hello and welcome to another Video Games to the Max. This is episode 154 of the show, and I am your host, Sean Grummer, and here with me, Mr. Mark Morrison.
Howdy.
Well, I think we might have finally figured out the formula to probably making this a weekly show, doing this on the weekend. Anyway, there is a lot to talk about since the last time we've been on, so we're going to try to hit the highlights of 2 weeks of stuff. Thankfully, the week prior, there wasn't a whole lot, so there's not too much we got to get into. But the big reveal this week, other than, you know, Prey coming out and them having a little, some unknown battle, apparently, that occurred for 2 months with another game called Prey that they just put an A in the name and then solved the problem, is the reveal of Darksiders 3 from the IGN First this month. Pretty cool to know that that's back. I was kind of a fan of the first two games. Actually, I don't really have, I haven't played too much of Darksiders 1. I played more of 2, but have you seen any of the trailer or the gameplay footage?
I saw the trailer, and I saw like a little gameplay, but there's not that much out there. But yeah, I'm excited. I like the first two games a lot for like different reasons. Like the first game had, it was a lot more Zelda-like, but it had some more issues along with it. The second game was pretty ambitious. I don't think it quite met all of its goals. But
it's kind of almost like a little bit like WoW. There's a lot of loot and stuff going on.
Well, it was like a, it was basically another Zelda game. Like, you know, how the dungeons were constructed and everything. But, like, it had the loot and, like, it had a lot of different weapons. Like, a lot more than, like, the first Darksiders for sure. I'll be curious if that comes back in the third one. Like, because she seems to only really use that whip. Like, imbue it with different, like, abilities or, like, you know, elements or something like that.
I mean, that is a nice, like, I think, I guess, having it be its own unique thing that she uses that whip. Your main weapon is the whip, and, you know, apparently they have physics problems with the hair, so they're still trying to figure out what they want to do with that. Yeah, well, it's either they're going to do, like, Bayonetta and make it a part of her, or they're just going to work out the physics so you can see the hair flowing and whatever, but that's kind of a hang-up that they're in right now just from listening to the person that went to go see the hands-on or whatever talking about it. But, I mean, it's... Yeah, go ahead, sir.
I was going to say, I'm waiting for the Darksiders 3 Castlevania crossover.
Yeah, that's... I mean, why not, right? Just get it more out there. I mean, a lot of people, you know, doing their thing and complaining about the fact that even though it's been there from the beginning that Fury was a woman, somebody's got to sit there and complain that there's a woman character.
I don't know if I necessarily believe that. Like, I'm sure there are people bitching about it, like, because whenever there's a female character, people complain because they're idiots. But I don't think it was ever referenced that she was a woman in the first two games.
I think so, from the first... I remember, even though actually technically in the canon, it looks like Darksiders 1 will actually end up being the last game by chronological order. But
that's pretty dumb.
Because didn't you see in the trailer he's still in chains or whatever? So
yeah, but I thought it was more like I thought it might have been like a, almost like a sequel, like a prequel then a sequel, kind of. Like they'll, it'll start up and change, but then it'll jump forward. Something like that. I remember the first Darksiders ended with like the other three horsemen like flying down, you know.
Right.
But they didn't show them at all. Like they were really in silhouette, and you couldn't see like who the, like what they or who they were.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting what Strife winds up being. Of course, there's all, you know, I'm sure this one has to do with Fury fighting the seven deadly sins, which I'm sure there will be certain sins that are not representative of the ones that we know, just like they changed the horsemen around. I don't have a problem with that. It makes it their own unique thing. So, you know, we go ahead.
So there'll at least be seven dungeons. We got that down now.
Yeah, I mean, also, like, one of the big things is apparently it's going to be more like Breath of the Wild, where the dungeons are not going to just be like, oh, go here, unlock this thing, or whatever. It's going to be much more, it's going to feel real, I guess. Like, with Breath of the Wild, the environment, you look at things and you'll go, oh, well, okay, this definitely goes here. And sometimes you'll just be throwing random crap at stuff because it's metal, and oh, it unlocks the puzzle. Great. Well, so, you know.
Copying Zelda worked for him one time, so might want to try again.
I mean, yeah. I mean, look, if you're going to be making adventure games, copying Zelda is not a bad way to go. It's worked for them, like you said, and, you know, I'm excited for this. I've liked the gameplay that I've seen. Obviously, you kind of want to see what more besides just her whacking people with the whip or whatever. But I'm sure that will come in time. The game ain't coming until 2018. So,
yeah, you know. Like it's a long ways off. But also, you got to remember like that studio broke apart and the publisher fell apart. So.
I'm glad that they have original people working on it, though. It's not just some new team that don't,
they're not making, like, a Darksiders RTS or MOBA. You know, they seem to do something stupid like that with it.
Yeah, definitely it still feels like Darksiders, so that's good, and that they're wanting to, you know, put a 2017 spin on it, that's fine. That's, you kind of need to update it a bit for the times. That's...
Yeah.
Totally good on that part. I guess since we're on the wave of looking at things from a footage perspective, we didn't get to talk about this. Both of us play these games for the single player every year. At least I didn't play the last one, but I know you did. Call of Duty World War II got the trailer released. They showed some stuff about the story. November 3rd, as you'd expect, pretty much. But, you know, from what I saw, of course, I have a tangible connection to World War II with my grandpa being in it and everything else. But I like the fact that you're following one guy, very much like Advanced Warfare. You're not just jumping around and what, you know, you're not jumping around too much, at least.
Yeah, but the limiting factor with that is it's probably going to only be one campaign. Or, like, one, you know, one area, like Germany, like the Germany campaign. Like, he's not going to be, the guy's not going to be going, like, Germany, then Italy, then Japan, stuff like that.
Yeah, that's exactly what they said. So it's going to be one area of Germany like, that they're going to tell throughout this certain period between 44 and 45.
I think the previous, I think Call of Duty 2 and 3 had, like, multiple characters and, like, multiple... like different campaigns. Like I remember 3 especially had like now you're the American guy for this mission, but this next mission you're the French guy, and the next mission you're an English guy.
Yeah, I mean, I get you. I think though, like there's been a lot of World War II games in history. I know that it's been a while since we had them, but it's like, do we really need to go through the greatest hits of World War II again? I mean,
now D-Day will look better than in D-Day has ever looked before.
Right, I do like
better than Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, especially in that 4K. It's going to be amazing. You know, I do like the fact that apparently, like, the guys, you got to go find a medic if you get hurt. You got they do try to add some realism in there. Like, you got to, ammo's not just going to be everywhere. So, you know, you're going to have to think about what you do.
And the zombies.
Yeah, well, aside from the Nazi zombies, you know. But I mean, that's an
Can't have female soldiers if we can have Nazi zombies.
That's an optional mode, though, usually. It's not like they just go, okay, the zombies are just here from the beginning. I don't understand that.
I don't think I'll be interested in this game, honestly. Like, I mean, if you have a family connection, that's one thing, you know, or some reverence for, like, the conflict. But I don't know. I'm burned out on Call of Duty as it is. Unless it'd be cool if they included, like, an HD version of Call of Duty 2.
Yeah, let's just keep remastering those. I mean, I'm all for that. Why not? I mean, you know, I get you, too. I give them credit for at least, like, let's not do another Advanced Warfare 2. And just seeing how more futuristic we can get, they at least gave you something that could be a little bit different. They're trying to be a bit more grounded with the gameplay style. Like, apparently, if you duck, you're going to go all the way into the trenches and stuff like that. And he puts his ears over his head and stuff like that. He's actually scared. It might be the little touches, I think, that make it more than anything, but I kind of applaud them for doing the Battlefield thing and going backwards with it.
I'm waiting for Call of Duty War of 1812.
Yeah, I mean, you know, why not? Do the revolution. Yeah, do what Assassin's Creed 3 couldn't do. Do the Revolutionary War, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, do the War of 8. Why not? Just keep going back to all these old ass wars. I mean, if somebody's going to do it.
You get a musket with, like, a fat blunt wrapper on it or something. A blunt paint skin.
It takes 20 minutes to shoot a bullet.
Yeah.
Get ready for that, everybody. Well, I did my one shot. Let me spend the rest of the time putting the gunpowder in here and all this.
Yeah. Okay, one bullet mode for real.
It'd be great. Then somehow the zombies are going to be like the Confederates or something?
Yeah, probably.
Can't wait for that. Joking. You know. They'll find a way to put the zombies in anything. They're even going to remaster the zombie maps, apparently, I think.
I have never had fun at that zombies mode.
Really?
Not once.
All I ever hear is people talking about how great the zombies mode is.
I liked Spec Ops back in the day. That was, I think, Modern Warfare 2. That was about it. That was not zombies. That was a good co-op campaign or co-op missions.
Speaking of, did you ever play Spec Ops The Line? That's a good campaign.
I have it, but I never fired it up.
Yeah, that's a really, like, good story for a shooting game.
Heart of Darkness.
Yeah, right. I mean, I don't know that I liked reading the book, but, you know. So, you know, you got to play Prey more than the first hour. So, like, I saw an article about this, and I wanted to get your take on this. Because we have so many of these, like, you know, now there's betas that come out, and now there's all these other, like, tests and whatnot. Should more developers do what Prey did and just give you the first hour as, like, a little primer for the game?
I think so. I mean, as long as it's actually representative of the game itself. Like, that is always my issue with demos. Because I remember, like, way back in the day, there was a game called Time Shift. That was like 2005. And they released a demo out, and the demo was cool, and then they completely scrapped everything in the demo for like the real game. And it's like, what the fuck is this? Like, why did you, like, who did this?
Yeah, I mean, it just, there's, I think Kingdoms of Amalur did that. I remember that one.
Saints Row did it. I mean, it was a press thing, but, like, they released, like, a beta, like, a preview build of, like, Saints Row 4. That was, like, the first, like, 3 or 4 hours of the game. That's pretty cool.
Didn't they do the 3-hour trial of Watch Dogs 2?
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, plus you got the... They didn't release it on PC because Steam has the 2-hour... where you can return it after 2 hours, and Microsoft's going to do the same thing, looks like. So, I mean, I guess, why not, right? If people are going to start doing the... And Sony does it, and what if Sony eventually does it? I mean, all these games can be returned if you only play them for 2 hours and you buy them digitally. I mean, why not? Just let them have the demo so they don't return it. They just don't buy it in the first place.
Yeah.
So what do you think of Prey so far?
It's good. I really like it. It's a lot like Bioshock, kind of mixed with more of an RPG. It's pretty spooky, because you don't, like, see the aliens that well. I mean, they can, like, mimic stuff. So you're kind of always on the lookout for, like, oh, is this coffee table, like, you know, real, or is it an alien? I don't really like the combat that much. Like, I don't think it's bad. But the aliens jump around a lot, so it is kind of hard to, like, hit them. But the place looks, like, the space station does feel, like, very lived in, and it's, like, really fun to explore and, you know, hunt around for different stuff. I never really liked Arkane's games before. Like, I didn't like Dishonored 1 or 2. I didn't play the 2, but I don't like Dishonored 1 that much, but I really like this game.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like not a lot of people played Dishonored 2, just from the... I mean, it still got critical awards, but, like, you really didn't hear a lot of people talking about it outside of, gaming people.
It came out, like, during a glut when everything else was coming out also, so that probably didn't help. Like, it came out in, like, November, so what do you expect?
Yeah, they were much smarter with Prey of having it come out during this period where you don't have a lot of games, you know, just all bunched together.
I'm still hoping I can find Tommy from the first Prey game, though. That's my dream.
Maybe it's an Easter egg. You never know.
Yeah. Right. That'd be funny. You just hear Blue Oyster Cult playing somewhere.
So I heard that apparently the aliens, like, they can morph into objects.
Yeah, that's what the smallest aliens, like, yeah, they turn into different stuff. So you might, like, walk by, you know, a fire extinguisher, and then you just start getting attacked by, you know, you don't know what it is, so you start getting attacked by it. So you really have to, like, be on the lookout for, like, what's attacking, like, really pay attention to the environments in that game.
You said the,
and
space gate. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, the weapons are pretty weird, too.
Like, what do you get to use as weapons?
Well, there's a silence pistol, shotgun, which, you know, those are pretty standard. Two weird weapons I have so far is something called a tripcaster, which is a crossbow that shoots Nerf darts.
Huh.
It has no purpose. It just shoots, like, Nerf darts. Like, it's like a joke. and the other one is, I think it's called the glue gun. It's like your first, like, it's like your first, like, ranged weapon. And it basically solidifies around an object and, like, immobilizes it for a while. So it doesn't cause any damage, but the idea is, like, you shoot an alien, it, you know, stops, and you can hit it with your wrench or something. But you can also use the glue gun to, like, get around, because you can shoot it against the wall, and you can jump on the glue bubble it causes.
That's pretty cool. So it's a...
Yeah.
So do you, go in and so what's the sort of what are you doing in the story? Like, what's why are they there and that kind of thing.
We're on a space station. It gets attacked, or it gets taken over by these, I think they call the Typhon aliens or whatever. And there are two people trying to like direct you to do stuff. One is your brother, but he may have like some nefarious purposes. And the other is something called January, which is a robot that you also have amnesia. But it's a robot that like has your memories. That's trying to like get you to do like different stuff. That trying to take on your brother, essentially.
It's seems like a lot going on there.
Yeah, I'm like 7 or 8 hours. I pretty much started playing it at like 12 today, and I only stopped like an hour or two ago. But I'm not really that far in the main game actually, because I'm just kind of jumping around and like trying to explore.
See,
And
they.
there's a cool out of space station area. Like you can fly around, which is pretty cool. In like 0G.
So is there anybody else when you go outside the
There
scene?
are apparently other people alive in the station, but I've yet to see a person. Except for like the brother. The brother's still alive. That's about it. And there is like a side quest menu, but I haven't gotten a few. Like I did a few of them, but most of them are just. I assume they're just not. I haven't found anyone yet. Or a lot of stuff is like gated. So to get to like the shuttle bay, you may need a password, but you don't have the password until you do like part of the main story, stuff like that.
So like gating the side content, that's what
Yeah, but I mean, it's not a big deal. Like, I think they want people to progress like at their own speed.
Yeah, that's always good. Like you don't want to feel like okay, I have to do this right now, all this kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah, but it's fun. Like it's the first arcane game I've liked.
Well, that's a plus. At least you started liked one of their games, right?
I liked BioShock 2, but they only did like partial work on it.
Well, you know, some positive stuff about Prey there, so definitely seems like people should check it out if you haven't bought it already. Anything else you've been playing there?
Planescape a little. Puyo Puyo Tetris, I reviewed that finally. Marvel Heroes Omega, Siberia 3, and everything.
Goodness, that is a lot
Yeah,
happening there.
I'm still behind on quite a few things.
Well, I don't really need to tell you to go buy it because apparently so many of you already did. 459,000 people bought Mario Kart 8 Deluxe within the first week. I am reviewing that currently. I've even gotten my daughter to play with me a few times. I had to turn the motion controls on for her because she would move the whole Joy-Con and not understand that you just move the joystick to get the car to stop going to the side. And the only reason she doesn't fall off is because they have that smart steering now. So it keeps you from falling off the road or whatever. So, I mean, it's Mario Kart. If the battle stuff is fun, like getting to go back and play the balloon battles and all that, that's brings back some really nice memories. I always enjoyed the battle stuff and getting to play. The one mode that my daughter did get was the balloon battle thing because we got to play on the same team and she would just go around and shoot randomly and then it tells you when you hit one of the characters. So, you know, when she and it'll give you like a number of how many balloons you got left, so she could easily tell what's going on. But at the Joy-Cons being flipped over are kind of, you know, they're not the most comfortable things. If you have a pro controller, obviously use that. But I mean, they work fine for what they are. It's just you can feel like the little buttons sometimes when you're, I'm trying to press it to go, it starts, you're having to hold the button down so long, it starts like cramping your fingers and stuff. And I don't have big hands, so I can imagine people have big hands, that's even worse. Online mode is fun too. There's always a lot of people online. The only thing is, like, it's weird. Depending on how you play offline, it judges you online. So if you play in between, say, like 150cc and 100cc or whatever, it'll just randomly choose. So perhaps they need to, that might be a patch thing they need to fix or whatever. But, you know, overall, this play is great. It's great to be able to just play it sitting in my bed or whatever, along with playing it on the TV. So, you know, can't go wrong with Mario Kart, honestly. Don't know what to tell you there. It's Mario Kart. It's great. If you don't have, if you only have Zelda for the Switch, this is the next game that you kind of really got to buy. So,
you know, you're getting Puyo Puyo Tetris.
Well, yeah, go buy Puyo Puyo Tetris too. I mean, it is kind of difficult. So, you know, that's one thing. You had to have some patience there to understand it a bit. But I'm not one that got it at all. It confused the crap out of me. So, at least you understand it, so that's...
I understand half of it. I understand Tetris. I don't quite grasp Puyo Puyo at all.
Yeah, that was just... I get it's kind of like... You know, all the match 3, match 4 things, but it's even more complicated than that, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... I still laugh that you apparently cannot... You're not supposed to stream the story either.
You're not supposed... I mean, I think you can, though. Like, it didn't throw up, like, a big block sign like Persona 5 did.
I didn't. I swear that I had seen where it was blocking people. Perhaps they took it off or whatever after a while.
Yeah, I think they did take it off. But because when I initially did start playing it, it was blocked. But they like quickly removed it. So.
Ah, okay. That makes sense. I was like, I didn't know that this had this deep story that we didn't need to know.
Like the story for the game is nonsense. So.
I imagine so. I think I've also been playing the Wonder Boy's Dragon's Trap, which is one of the most prettiest games I've seen. Not because it's gonna wow you because of the way that they did the animation. It almost looks like a cartoon come to life while you're playing it, and then you go and try to, you can hit a button and go back and look at the retro version. And my God, the difference is insane, you know. Like, you can still obviously tell what each character is and all that kind of stuff, but it's like, it just looks so pretty, the way that they did it. And the only thing is, like, you get to a certain point where you can switch between the different animals that you get cursed into, but there's certain points where you get restricted into them. And, like, you know, the dragon is cool and everything, but when you get to the mouse and... he can, like, climb on walls and stuff, but it's, like, not the greatest thing to try to fight. And it's, like, you can tell it's an old game because you don't really... It's one of these games where you can either go left or right, and you don't really know if you're going in the right direction until you happen to go to a room and there's a boss, and you go, oh, now I know I went the right way, because now I turn into another animal. But until then, you could go all the way to the right, and you don't know what the hell is going on. So it's really weird. It took a while to get used to. One of the few reasons I had to actually do something on my Xbox One. The Telltale Marvel Episode 1 was Telltale Marvel Episode 1. So, you know.
Guardians, you mean?
Yeah, the Guardians. We both saw the movie, right? So, what did you think of Guardians, I guess without talking about spoilers here, what did you think about the...
Good, I mean, on par with the first one. I mean, I liked it. Like, I'm not, like, blown away by it, but I mean, I knew it was going to be good, so that's why I'm not quite shocked by it.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, you knew that. I mean, I've been listening to the soundtrack before I watched the movie for hours. So I was pumped, and they somehow made Drax funnier. I did enjoy that. He just says random crap. And apparently it was so random that it was making him uncomfortable on set, which is great. And Kurt Russell was great, I thought. I really enjoyed him as the dad. So
yeah, it's nice to see him acting like, again, like with this and Fast and Furious.
More roles for Kurt Russell. It needs to happen. Yeah, but most part, it's just, it's like, you get to learn more about some of the lesser characters, I guess if you call them that.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, there's like 5 ending scenes.
Yeah.
So make sure you stay through like the whole thing. Because they stop periodically throughout the credits to do some kind of scene. And one of them is going to lead to another movie that James Gunn is going to do now for the MCU. So, play close attention, I guess. Don't want to spoil it for people that haven't watched the movie yet. But, certainly if you haven't watched it yet, definitely go see Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Well worth it. As far as sitting in the movie and getting everything you got out of Guardians 1. So let's get into what else has been going on here with... part of this is stuff from the previous week and part of it's stuff from this week. The Nintendo 2DS XL got announced, which is pretty much like a smaller version of the 3DS XL with the sturdy format of the 2DS and no 3D, obviously, because the lid closes and whatever. I mean, if I didn't have a new 3DS XL, I'd want to get it. It looks really cool. Just this seems weird that we're coming out with a new DS system again with the Switch when you just said that one of the reasons you couldn't keep making an NES Classic was because your Switch was out there and you wanted people to buy that. So
well, now I don't think people are going to be lining up in outside stores to buy this thing, unlike the NES Classic.
Yeah, I mean,
also the NES, like, think about the two, like, the NES Classic is basically an Android Pie in a cute case. Like, this thing is a lot more involved from a hardware perspective.
Right, and I mean, if you already have one of these things, you have no reason to, unless you just want to trade it in and get this thing, to go do that. I think the only reason you're buying this is for some reason you either got to have each version, or you don't have one at all. Nintendo did say they're still supporting this until 2018.
Yeah, but like, this thing is basically like the Game Boy Micro 2.
I mean, that's kind of what Nintendo does, though. They just come out with new versions of this, see if it sells. If it doesn't, oh well. It's not like, you know, the end of the world for them. At least that's how they act about it, for the most part. It did surprise me that they're just like saying all the way till like some time in 2018, we're still supporting this. They're gonna announce games at E3 for it. They already announced quite a few games at the previous Direct. So, I mean,
they'll still support it, but it's not gonna be like the big games. Like, they're not going to make a new Zelda for this thing, or a new Mario. It'll be, like, Fire Emblem, or, you know, they're not, like, a lot of, like, lesser, I mean, I would say lesser-known franchises.
Yeah, I mean, they'll come out with a gazillion Fire Emblems for this thing. They already are, to some extent. Even with a Shadows of Valentia, the Echo of Shadows of Valentia is going to have a $45 season pass, and the game costs $40.
For a handheld game.
Yikes. Is that getting into gross territory here? I mean, like, the season pass costs more than the game.
I mean, that's happened before with, like, Forza.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like you get a lot of stuff. There's every, like, in the middle of when this game comes out, for the first 3 or 4 weeks, you get a DLC pack. You might as well just buy this season pass, because two of these, well, one of these things costs like $15 by itself. You get 10 things in it, but still, you know, so it's just, it's crazy. That's a lot of, I mean, I guess you're supporting the game well after release or whatever, but damn, that's a lot of money for a season pass and the game. Might as well just almost spending like $90 on this thing.
Yeah.
With both of them together.
But Fire Emblem fans are nuts, so they'll buy it.
Oh yeah. They like to spend hours and hours trying to breed the right thing to make the right combination and do all that. So, and I mean, hey, they got the mobile thing to work. So they will probably eat this up as well. Nintendo announced that they sold 2.74 million Switch units, which I guess that's good. I'm kidding. It's great for them. They surpassed what they thought they were going to sell in a year in 1 month. And Legend of Zelda sold more. Apparently, there's people that bought Zelda thinking they could get the Switch later, and they still can't get the Switch.
Yeah, that, I mean, that happens with every big marquee game, though, so.
Yeah, I mean, that happens a lot with other launches. Like, if you can't get the system, they'll get the one game they want, thinking that, oh, in a couple of weeks, they'll be able to get the system or something, and, oh, they just got Zelda just sitting there. That's fine.
I mean, I had a friend who bought, like, a copy of Final Fantasy X, and he didn't have a PS2 for like a year after he bought it.
Wow. You know what? At least he kept it and eventually bought that PS2. I don't know. Well, I might have thought about trading it in at some
point. Well, his rationale was like, well, it's my tradition to buy Final Fantasy on the day, like the day of release. And I was like, that's a fine tradition. It's more traditional on the system to play it on first, though.
Right? Like, all right, let me buy this game. I don't know if I'm ever going to get to play it, but I bought it on release day.
And then I would always make fun of them. I'd go like, so how's that box art treating you?
Hey, it's just Titus in the water with his sword. You'll be all right. They were trying to keep this thing secret for a while. It was like this rumored thing forever, but they finally announced the Mario Rabbids RPG that's happening. Comes out August or September for the Switch, and there's Mario, Luigi, Yoshi, and Peach, and then four rabbits that are dressed up like them. And the cool thing, I guess, is that Mario's going to have guns that fire laser beams. I guess since this is going to be just a total parody of everything, since the rabbits are in it.
I'd rather be more interested in like a Mario, like Rayman crossover.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised they didn't go for that. Like, those two seem... Like, how cool would it be to... I guess you kind of get that with the Mario RPG. Or not RPG, the Superstar Saga thing. They kind of look like Rayman a little bit, but to kind of get Rayman being in doing Mario levels, and maybe you get Mario doing Rayman type levels,
that would be... Especially because they essentially had the same powers. I mean, just run and jump.
Right. I'm surprised they didn't ever think of that. It just you might want to get on it pretty quick, though, with Vivendi inching ever closer to taking Ubisoft over, apparently.
So, I really hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, come on, Canada. Get in here and invest some money. And keep it.
I don't know why Vivendi's like after Ubisoft, because like they failed, you know, 10 years ago when they tried to get into video games.
I think apparently they're just trying to appease the investors. They just want to, I guess, be able to say they took something over that makes money and get themselves more money. And I don't see them really wanting to go in there and just be like, all right, let's make some great games, people. Like,
yeah.
I'd just be worried about now we're for sure going to get Far Cry and Assassin's Creed and all that every year. Like, forget taking years off or anything, just...
That was actually kind of cool. Like, Far Cry has never been like an annualized series, but it was nice last year when they took that year off for Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, I mean, and it, you know, you had Primal, but you didn't have like a numbered game in the series. So, at least if they make a Far Cry 5, you had some time off to think about what you want that to be. Or they might even take this year off. Who knows? They have so many like pillars of franchises. They definitely could have one of them take a year off, and alternate in the big games at this point. They really don't need to like whore out these franchises constantly.
Bring back Splinter Cell.
Honestly, I don't know why they haven't yet.
Because the last one didn't sell, but it was sad because it was the best one.
That is sad. Like your best game in the series and doesn't sell. I mean, I don't know. Stealth games are kind of in right now. People are putting stealth in a lot of games. I mean, and you're bringing back every other Tom Clancy.
Yeah, Hitman did well.
But don't you get to also shoot things in Hitman?
Yeah, I mean, shoot things in Splinter Cell, too.
Yeah, you just said it. You could make it. Why not make an episodic Splinter Cell? It could work. Right? Sure. Just go to different places and infiltrate and do what you got to do. You know, Ubisoft, get on that. Let's do it. Before Vivendi comes and probably makes you. I don't know.
Hmm.
I'd imagine they would go back to the other time when they, you know, owned Activision and go, all right, what was great in, like, 2003? Oh, Splinter Cell. Let's make that. Are you excited for this Mega Man Legacy Collection 2?
Not really.
No.
Because I still had the PS2 Mega Man collection, which had more games on it.
A lot of people like the Legacy Collection 1. So.
Yeah, but they're fools, so...
But not a lot of people just sit there and have their PS2s lying around either.
They're soft. They should have all the old game systems like lying around hooked up.
I
mean, I guess the thing is like Mega Man 7 through, I think it's 7 through 8 or 9 or 10. I think it's 7 through 10.
Right.
Those aren't fondly remembered games. Like, especially Mega Man 8. Like, that's a pretty shitty game.
So they're just Capcom, I guess. They did say, you know, they were living in the land of retro. They were doing this.
If they're going to do this, put all the weird Mega Man shit into it also. Like, put in, like, Mega Man Soccer and Rock.
Oh, please put in Mega Man Soccer. That was great.
Mega Man Battle and Chase, so like the Mega Man fighting game. Like, you know, put in some like weird shit into this thing also, not just four games that only one of them is like half good and that's it.
Yeah, you think, why not, right? Like, you're going through and just remastering or doing whatever it is you're doing with these old games. Like, put some of the other ones in there. It's a package. Like, more games means you might sell some people on, oh, there's six games in here instead of four?
Four, yeah.
I might buy it.
When they inevitably do Mega Man X Collection, it just should just be all the Mega Man X games, not... Well, the first three, and then we're going to release another package later on that'll be, like, have another four games in it or something.
Come on, this is the same company that's releasing Code Veronica X next week.
Yeah.
So,
the game everyone's been waiting for.
Just... I can't believe we're already at that where it's coming out next week.
A port on a PS4 of a shitty game from the PS2 of a good game from the Dreamcast.
How did they mess up the port on the PS2? I don't understand.
I think it was slower, or it didn't have, like it looked worse. I remember that. And it was archaic at the time. Like, because I think Code Veronica came out, like, 2000 on the Dreamcast. And Code Veronica X came out in, like, 2002, so it was already kind of aged.
Yeah, that's... Well, and it's let's like, just keep it going.
It's just like, it's a 17-year-old game, 16-year-old game. Like, why? Like, and who's wanting this? That's my question.
Probably the people are like, I want the whole Resident Evil collection on my PS4.
No, because they already have it on Xbox or PS3. The 360 or PS3.
Yeah, but I mean, there's still a lot of people that traded in their PS3 and don't. Or they're
like at least Resident Evil 4 and 5, like, you can make the argument that, like, those are still, like, halfway relevant games. Like, they control still okay. Code Veronica does not. It's like tank control has come back.
Please do not. We already have this problem with games that have them and people want them to... They have to make a separate control scheme just so that's not the only, you know, way to play the game. But, you know, some people just... I mean, it's whatever. It's like this again. This is what Capcom's doing. They said that they were gonna, quite a few of their games are gonna be remasters or whatever, and they, I guess they're holding true to who they are. Doesn't mean we have to like it. Doesn't mean that it's the best thing to do with their resources, I guess. I mean, they got people interested with the Disney Afternoon thing.
Yeah, but those are six games that are classics.
Not Tailspin, but at least the other five.
Yeah.
I didn't even know Tailspin had a game until they came out with that collection. Like, what? Alright. And apparently it was like the worst one of the bunch. But
I don't think it's not a 2D shooter, it's not a 2D platformer, so.
Yeah, because you fly the plane or whatever, right? Well, I guess you can be like Baloo and just fly it terribly and keep crashing. So, you know, I'm not too big on the fighting games here, but I know you like the first Injustice, Red Hood, Starfire, and the weird one, Sub-Zero, your first DLC characters for Injustice 2.
Yeah. I'm pretty negative on the Sub-Zero part of this equation.
why are we bringing Mortal... are we trying to relive the DC versus Mortal Kombat days? Is what we're...
Well, it's also like... You, what? you completely exhausted the DC roster. Like, you could not think of any other character to bring in. Like, fuck it, throw in, like, Killer Frost or Mr. Freeze or someone. Not just Sub-Zero.
Yeah, I mean, Mr. Freeze would be the closest thing, right? Make it a DC deal. I guess they're hoping that that gets people to buy it.
I think Killer Frost was in the last Injustice game also. And she basically was Sub-Zero.
Wouldn't be surprised if somehow she's still a character in this game. I think they said there's going to be, if you buy the Super Deluxe whatever edition, you get 9 DLC characters. So,
I am increasingly not... I don't like how Warner Brothers does their fighting games.
Why?
I don't like their stupid roster reveals. Like, every time... Like, just release the full goddamn roster. Like, I don't... You don't need to release, like, a new character video every week of, like, oh, it's a new story. Darkseid is in this game. Poison Ivy's in this game. It's like, no. I don't care. Release the roster. And, like, this, like, how they're planning out DLC for, like, the next 3 years or something. It's like...
Well,
make it a good game first and then plan out the DLC.
At least they're supporting it. So... Yeah. I mean, so you're saying Injustice 1 wasn't a good game?
No, that was fine, but they just try to, like, sensationalize everything. And they really, I think they dropped the ball with Mortal Kombat X, honestly.
Oh, yeah, I remember your loathe of that game.
Well, it didn't run on my computer, so that's why I didn't like it. But, like, I think that game dropped off pretty hard. Because of, like, some of the other issues that people had with it.
Super Smash Brothers, though, does the same thing. When they have a DLC character, they just go, hey, here's this person.
Yeah, but that's a DLC character. Like, I don't think they did that with the roster.
Yeah, they did it, like, they showed, like, I think the first however many it was, and they'd show another group, and... But, like... I don't know. I think
that's dumb whenever any fighting game does it, honestly, though. Unless it's, like, a new game.
I mean, yeah, it's... Like, I think that's the thing with fighting games. They just, oh, let's get you excited by revealing this character and that character. And
if they made, like, a new Rival Schools or Darkstalkers game, I would be very interested in the roster. But a new Smash Brothers, it's like... What, is Mario going to be in this one? big surprise.
It's more like, who's going to be in it that hasn't been in it before? That's, like, yeah. The only surprise.
And the same thing with this one. It's like, oh, shocker, Superman's in this one. It's like, no shit.
Right?
I think it was last week I saw a news story. It's like, oh, the Joker's in Injustice 2. It's like, yeah, of course he is. He's the biggest, like, DC villain there is. Like, what do you expect?
Yeah. Like, come on now. Like, you know he's going to be in this game. I think it'd be a bigger story if, like, Lex Luthor was in the game.
He was in the last one.
I know what I'm saying. Like, it's more likely that he's not in it than Joker or whatever. You know, like, if there's any villain that's going to be in one of these, it's Joker, just because people like him just as much as one of the superheroes, you know?
I think it's... Captain Cold is in this one, not Sub-Zero. Not Killer Frost. And it's like, how are they going to play differently?
I guess Sub-Zero's going to have his fatality he's always had, and... Captain Cold is going to have his thing on.
Yeah.
Can't wait till they announce Johnny Cage, too, for random whatever reason. So, like, you know, if they have Sub-Zero, they're going to have Scorpio.
Yeah.
Because those two always have to be together.
Have Quan Chi.
Speaking of Far Cry, Ubisoft keeps teasing Far Cry 3 stuff. You think maybe a remaster or like a prequel or something, maybe? Or
well, it's theorized that it's going to be about Voss, which like he was a breakout character from that game. But he kind of died in that game, so that's an issue.
I guess you can make it a prequel then, where he's not dead.
Yeah, but like, I don't know how interested I'm going to be in that character's backstory.
Yeah, they'd have to make it convincing. I mean, what is he going to be doing? Like, go liberating outposts and
no, he'll be
somewhere?
Taking them over. He'll be taking them over for his pirate gang.
Yeah, they'll find.
He'll be oppressing the outposts, not liberating them.
True. He'll just be like, all right, this is how I started my takeover of all the outposts that you go free in Far Cry 3. All right. And there's the game. That's...
Yeah.
With his story.
Here's an awkward sex scene, first-person sex scene halfway through.
This goes back to the whole, you don't have to have a Far Cry game, you know. You can just...
I don't know. You don't, but I'm not completely burnt out on that series yet, so I think it's still fine. Like, and there are still, like, inventive things they do with that series every time it comes around.
Yeah, true. I liked Far Cry 4 a lot. A little bit I got to play, so...
Like, Primal was a pretty interesting game also.
Yeah, that's because they changed the setting and you really felt like you're in that sort of prehistoric world. Or
yeah.
If they can manage to do that, then, you know, more power to them, I guess. I just sometimes wish that if you're really going to take that year off, just take the year off, you know, or not so much have to have the franchise come out there. But hey, speaking of games that took time off, Phantom Dust HD, the re-release, apparently, because the graphics were so good, they were even better than the original Xbox could handle, so they're basically just re-releasing this game on 1080p, 60fps, not really so much remastering.
Congrats, it's not officially the laziest port ever.
Listen, if you are one of these people that is very... it's apparently going to play 4K on PC, but I mean, I'll give them credit. They had to apparently hack into the original code to be able to do all this. They didn't, they didn't have the, way to unlock the code, somehow. I forgot how he was explaining this, that whoever made the game, they did not give them the how to get into the code, so they had to hack it to them themselves to be able to do all the stuff they did to it. But there is going to be DLC for this game that you have to pay for, and free DLC, and I saw some of it. It looks okay. I kind of want to see how the card game aspect of this is. But, you know, it's not something I'm just going to be running out and buying.
You'll have to buy booster packs from the in-game store.
Oh, God. Please. Don't tell me.
It'll be like Hearthstone.
Oh, God. Worse. That's even worse. Microsoft doesn't have a lot of exclusives left, so...
Yeah, I always think about their E3 from like 2 or 3 years ago when they announced that Phantom Dust 2 that never came out. I think they showed Cuphead again, and that still has yet to come out. Crackdown 3 is still nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, totally a mystery.
What was it? Scalebound
got canceled.
Yeah, it's like, what are you guys doing?
Recore was whatever.
Like three fourths of a game.
Yeah, I mean, Microsoft needs to. Everybody complained about Halo's story ending in a cliffhanger, and now they're gonna make sure that Master Chief is in 6 because people didn't like the fact that you didn't play much as Master Chief in 5.
You think they would have realized that when Halo 2 came out?
Yeah, you know, the Halo 2 was actually just kind of, it was sort of interesting, because you do this in, you know, in Halo Wars, you also learn about what the Covenant's doing and all that kind of stuff, but it's just, like, they also had the problem with that story kind of just ended there, and people didn't like it. Why would you do it again in 5? That's just weird, but again, they don't always pay attention to history when you're going through and making these things. Phil Spencer did answer somebody saying that he thinks there's still a lot left with Fable. I guess it's not dead.
I'm sure Lionel will get right on that.
Or if there is anyone left of Lionhead.
Yeah.
Apparently, he said if they would have made a Fable 4, there's thoughts that game would have still be going today.
Oh, you mean instead of the Kinect game you force them to make? What a shocker!
Yeah, because somehow I don't know why somebody would have wanted Fable Legends, but you know.
This is a story a few days ago. It's not in your notes or anything, but I think PopCap just had to lay off some people, like they're downsizing a little.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I tweeted them about this. I'm like, boy, who would have thought focusing on free to play games and gimmicky shooters wouldn't have panned out?
Did somebody say something?
They didn't respond, but someone was like, oh, you should have kicked them when they're down. And I'm like, they shouldn't have focused on bullshit. It's like, come on, people.
I think they also really pissed people off with the they had to get to the point where they completely took the was it Garden Warfare 2 that had the ridiculous amounts of microtransactions in it?
Yeah, probably.
Just, Lord.
If anything, like Plants vs. Zombies 2 is the one that still pisses me off.
Why on that?
Because it's not on PC. And you can't just buy it. I would pay $20 for that game if it was just on Steam. Like the first game was.
Right.
And was a full game.
It doesn't... and then they made that big deal with the E3... Fourth Garden Warfare 3, and whoops, like nobody was talking about it.
Yeah.
It's sometimes you gotta.
Go ahead. EA bought that company, I think, in like 2011, and since then it's been on a downward slope.
Yeah, like nothing really comes out of there that they used to make, like some really cool games, and now it's like, you don't ever hear anything that PopCap's making that you go, oh man, I want to play that.
Yeah, I mean, Garden Warfare was a fine enough game, honestly, but no one was really asking for it, and who really cared about it?
You know, EA is big on their sequels, so, I mean, half of their money is spent on making sports games every year.
Yeah.
They have that problem of we got to make sure we keep just making these things that we know make money, but it doesn't always pan out for every series. You got to freshen that up a little bit. Just because you make Unravel or you bring somebody in to make Unravel once and make another game like that, one out of all your other games, doesn't mean that it's a great strategy. I mean,
yeah.
But hey, they have Star Wars Battlefront 2 to prop them up, so.
Yeah, that'll be a real winner.
Hey, you know, it'll sell. That's all that matters to EA. They don't care if whether if you and you know people are gonna wind it. You know, it's gonna get all the praise, whether it's great or not. It's just kind of how it is. Well, I mean, I'm getting an Elgato on Tuesday. I think I can stream some Persona 5 some more because they now let you go till November 19th instead of July 7th to stream.
Yeah. I mean, that's further, but you still can't stream natively from that thing, so who really cares? I'm like, for most people.
Yeah, it's like, why not just take that off? Plus, you know, like, the art is so cool, like, you'd want to take screenshots of that game. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Hopefully, one of these days, I feel like, you know, in like 2 or 3 months, we're going to hear them go, oh, there's no more restrictions. It's just like your game's been out since September in Japan. People can get the spoilers if they want them. I mean, I get, and like, that's what's happened, right? It's like, I feel like on stupid posts that have nothing to do with Persona 5, I keep seeing people posting spoilers just because they want to be assholes now because of all this. And perhaps if you didn't have these restrictions, people wouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know. The
story is not really the hook of that game, honestly. Like, I mean, it's more about the interactions of the character, you know, relationships with the characters, not about who the killer is or anything like that.
Yeah, it's about building those points and the characters and the proficiency and all that kind of stuff, you know. So, the dating sim sort of aspects of it.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I give Atlus, they care about their games and everything else, but at least they retracted it, but I feel like this is almost just kind of, oh, hey, guys, we're saying I'm sorry. Not that people care anymore, but okay. All right, well, I mean, you know the streamers are going to complain because they're like, well, the game's already been out for a month. Nobody cares anymore if we stream it, so...
Good, don't.
Yeah.
Good job.
Right? That would be good for you. Well, you know, some people's jobs is streaming, so I guess there's that. Speaking of old games, did you see the... I mean, not that we can really argue with these games, I think, being in the Hall of Fame or whatever. But Donkey Kong, Halo, Pokemon Red and Green, and Street Fighter 2. Now in the Video Game Hall of Fame.
Is it Pokemon Red and Green or Red and Blue?
I think they went by the original, like, Japanese
release. Wasn't that Red and Blue?
No, in Japan it was Red and Green.
Okay.
That's why they had the Fire Red and Leaf Green thing come out later.
Oh. Here.
I mean, you know, it's cool. I'm glad that they have this thing now. Because it seemed like forever that there, you know, if there was ever a, like, art form that needed its own Hall of Fame, it's certainly video games. Lots of great games to be able to honor and everything. Too bad you don't have a, like, way to make it a spectacle or anything, but it's something.
There used to be something in California, like the Video Games Hall of Fame, at the Metreon, that was like a... You know, some like, almost like a museum, kind of, but it's just like a walkway of characters.
Ah. So it's kind of, well, I mean, don't they have that, like, thing that kind of travels?
Yeah.
Now? I should have gone when they had it at FIU over here, but I just didn't have time to get over there. But it's cool they're doing all this stuff now, the preserve games, and you got the people that want to make it to where you can play these old PC games and all that stuff, so it's It's good we're getting the old games back in alive. If a Nintendo can ever figure out when they want to do their virtual console, that'd be nice. But you know, that's they. I bet that's going to be something at E3 because Reggie just keeps like not wanting to comment about that at all. Are you excited for this Night Trap remaster?
No.
I'm just. Who asked for this? I want to know. Who went around going, I want Night Trap remastered?
Sewer Shark, on the other hand, I wouldn't mind. No, I'm kidding.
But I thought you liked the old FMV games.
No. Not really. Like, they're all hard. And they all sucked back then. Because they're on, like, 2x CD-ROM drives that barely worked.
Especially this game that, like... There's, like, bad stuff in this game, too. Like, this chick's, like, getting raped and
whatever. No, I mean, it's all... I think it's, like, a PG... I mean, by not... By today's standards, it'd be, like, a PG game.
Probably. Based on things you'd see. But it's still, like... There was a lot of things they let them do.
The story of Dana Plato would probably be a lot more nefarious.
That's just, I'm just like, really? Why? But, you know, I guess we shouldn't be surprised by what gets remastered nowadays sometimes. Just, hey, random, like, that Voodoo Vince game got remastered. Nobody talked about that at all.
Like I said, they need, like I've always said, they need to do Plinks the Time Sweeper. The time is now.
Yep. Have that be the main theme song too. Just, hey, why not, John Cena? We're gonna take your theme song and roll with it. Remember when that was the supposed Microsoft mascot?
Yeah, I mean, they made two of those things.
It's like, oh, we gotta compete with Crash. Nope. No, you don't. Just stick with the first person shooters. That's where you guys don't go wrong. Don't make... Even though I liked Blinks, but I know it was bad. It's just... I like the idea of the cat that can time travel. In a... It's so bad, it's... You kind of got to laugh kind of way, but...
Yeah.
The Super Nintendo 4 and PlayStation Portable can actually play CD-ROMs, even though there's never been a CD-ROM that was actually made for the game, the system.
A few developers made stuff, like, you know, homebrew guys made stuff for it.
I mean, it's cool they got it to work, so...
Yeah.
I guess now it makes it even more valuable.
Yeah.
If they want to sell it or whatever they want to do with it.
I wonder how much that thing would be worth.
Didn't Ben Heck himself like throw a big number at it?
I don't know.
I remember when they were first when they first found it, there was guys wanting to give them like freaking millions for it. It's like ridiculous, but
yeah.
They didn't take it. It's like, wow, all right, that's
Sony tries to buy it. And destroy it.
Yeah, let's go on, Sony. Let's just be like, we never had any partnership with Nintendo.
If anything, Nintendo probably tried to buy it instead. Be like, we want to erase this thing with the Virtual Boy.
Exactly. It's the only one ever made. I think they'll be all right. You know. Then you find out they're like outbidding each other. That's just
yeah,
the best right there. Speaking of outbidding, ABC is actually trying to bring back American Idol. Well, man, they couldn't even let this thing be dead for a while. They just had to bring it right back. They are looking for a March premiere. I guess that would be next year. On Sunday nights, Netflix is also trying to get the thing. If I'm Ryan Seacrest, I'm staying far away from this.
No, he's already like, I think he's trying to jump into it because to get, you know, money.
That dude is forever going to be associated with that show.
Well, here's the thing about that show. Like, no one cared about watching it for the last 5 years it was on, if not more. Like, why is this going to be a success?
I guess they... I mean, there's actually good stuff that comes on Sundays. I don't know what ABC's thinking here. It's not like you just have stupid shows that come on Sundays. CBS has a big lineup that comes on Sundays. Fox has their thing. I couldn't tell you. Oh, NBC has the football. So, you know, it's not like American Idol's just going up there and going to be just doing wonderful things in the ratings. So, yeah.
I always laugh now about shows that got canceled like 10 years ago or 20 years ago for low ratings. Like, oh, this show only got a 5 million rating, like a 5 share in the ratings, so we're going to cancel it. It's like, if a show got that now, it'd be the most popular show on the network.
Right? It makes me... And now it's like the DVR can sometimes save shows and everything. So it's...
Yeah.
It's really interesting how they go about just deciding, all right, well, this show's canceled, this is not. Oh, let's wait, and... Oh, man, they had such great DVR numbers right before we were about to hit the axe. We'll just let it go on for the next year or whatever and see what happens. Now Roseanne is going to join Fuller House as a 90s sitcom that is coming back. I enjoyed Roseanne when I was young, so I welcome it.
I have the show on DVD.
It's a great show. Hilarious show.
Except for that last season.
Oh, that last season was bad. But, I mean, why not 8 episodes?
And Roseanne, like, that's all Roseanne can take because she's out of her mind.
Netflix also trying to get into this with ABC. I'd like to see it on Netflix so they could be a little bit more, you know... They could maybe do some things you couldn't do on ABC, but cool that they got most of the original cast back. So,
except for I guess Mark Quinn, everyone's still alive at least.
Yeah, and they haven't signed some of the other ones to deals, but they're going to probably sign. Just
they should alternate Becky's every episode though.
It's like, if you remember, like, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air got to alternate the Aunt Vivian's while you're at it.
Also bring back Perfect Strangers and Family Matters now.
That's all that's left, so let's just do it. And then Pod TV has that show with, what is it, the one girl from Seventh Heaven, the one from Step by Step, and one of the other ones from Full House or something, and they just a reality show of the three of them. It's like, God, when in the 90s it's become this, let's just do this bringing back old shows thing, all right? And Game of Thrones is going to have 4 spinoffs, no surprise, seriously. Like, did people think that they're going to just let Game of Thrones die? There's plenty of stories for them to tell from these people, but... I mean, that's awesome. I love the fact that Game of Thrones is continuing to exist after the 8th season. Going to be interested to see which one, you know, which characters they decide to put in as the spinoffs. There's some awesome freaking directors here, though, for the 4 shows. I know you're not a huge
Thrones never watched person. It. Nope.
Well, you know.
There should be 4 spin-offs of Silicon Valley instead.
What, 1 for each character?
Yep.
They're kind of already doing that this season with one of them. It's not going too well for him. Won't spoil it for people that did not aren't watching it or have not caught up yet. But yeah, I don't know. This season's kind of in the two episodes so far, kind of just hopefully it picks up. It's the last season though, right?
No.
I could have swore they said this was the last one, but.
Plus, I like the last episode a lot. Actually, the last episode reveal was hilarious.
Yeah. The age thing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, somebody forgot to put in this restriction. All right. Well, now you owe a ton of money that you will never ever have. Great. I haven't seen Split yet, but I'm a big fan of Unbreakable, so M. Night Shyamalan bringing out the final movie in the sort of three, but this is a sequel to Unbreakable Glass, and you're getting Samuel Jackson, Bruce Willis back, so
awesome. The only movies he was like actually well known for.
What, Bruce Willis?
No, M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh, M. Night Shyamalan, yeah.
Well, and yeah. Six, I mean, that was, you know, almost 20 years ago, so.
Unbreakable is like this weird thing. Like, a lot of people, you'll get people that, like, really, really like it, and then you'll get people that think it's, like, bad, and, like, they're like, why is this cult thing, but.
Well, it's no The Last Airbender, but
no, God.
Or it's no After Earth.
Poor guy. Just at least he came back with Split. So no surprise though that it had to do with something in that universe because he finally got to go back to something like you said that he's really good at, leaving to his own devices on other movies. Oof.
Well, the thing with him is he's better when he has a limited budget.
Yeah. You know, this is 2019 we're talking about, so can't get, like, too excited about this, but cool that it's getting made, I guess.
Yeah.
And, of course, you get the games that are coming out this week, the NBA Playgrounds. They had waited really, really, like, until a couple of weeks ago to announce that this is coming out May 9th. Really weird. It's also one of the games, like, you have to go to their site and fill out a form and whatever. They don't even have a person you talk to there. It is coming for the Switch and Xbox One, PS4, that kind of thing. So I'm sort of excited for it. I love the NBA Street and Jam and all that, but I don't want to get too excited and then somehow it doesn't live up to those expectations.
Do you like that recent NBA Jam?
Yeah, I did like it. I have it. It's good. I mean,
I liked it, but like the online part kind of screwed it up a little.
Yeah, I agree. It was a lot more fun with other people.
No, I meant like, whenever you press start, like, try to start the game, like, it tries to, like, hit some online server that takes, like, a minute or two.
Oh, yeah. And then sometimes it would do this weird thing with the, like, inside the game, too. It's just like, all right, thank you. You are screwing up my game here. This is just wonderful. And you also have birthdays at the beginnings, which we should have the review out tomorrow. I want to say, as long as I don't crash after working in about 3 hours. And because sometimes that happens. Sometimes I can just stay up the whole time until the next day. Sometimes I get home after working and I crash. You get the Minecraft for the Switch, Loco Roco remastered, the Code Veronica X thing for the PS4 as well. And then Injustice 2, Farpoint, one of the big VR games that Sony's actually promoting somewhat. And that's the week after, but we'll have a show between then. A lot of smaller stuff coming out next week aside from the other game. And then Strafe, which is like this game that goes back to like 1996 and plays somewhat like just this ridiculous shooter. So, yeah. But until, I think that's going to do it for us. You know, make sure you check out his Puyo Puyo Tetris review on W2NS should be out either tomorrow or Monday for sure. And, of course, I will be trying to get one of these Switch reviews out either. It'll probably be Mario Kart just so I can get that out there and Nintendo doesn't. Nintendo knows I got the thing done fast. So, because I got to go ask for a Fire Emblem. So, don't want to piss them off since they were nice and gave us the game for once. So, yeah, until next week, everybody, enjoy your games and we will see you later.
Later.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.